And normally this is where we would end the podcast as we're hitting an hour mark. But you know what? There's no one coming in behind us. We've got all night.
Late night.
We are going to hit Sandy and the Blowfish late night. And everybody's been clamoring on our thoughts on the NBA.
That's right.
So we are going to give the world our thoughts.
Give the people what they want.
I asked everybody before this, we have some NBA teams that we think should be fixed. Not just fixed, but
we think
they're a little broke, and I think we could fix them. So the teams that we have that we think need a little bit of help if they want to become the contenders that they want to be, that they think that they're in their window for, are the Mavericks, the Celtics, the Miami Heat, and the Nuggets. Boys, who do you guys want to start with?
Do we just want to start in order, or does anyone have a preference?
The Celtics are the team that I had the most to change.
I do have a lot to change for the Celtics as well.
Okay, other than are we going to get into minutes redistribution? Are we going to talk into health? Are we talking about trades?
I'm talking about player replacement, really.
All right, player replacement. Yeah. I love it. That's what we do best here.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about the Celtics. What do you guys think the Celtics need to do different? They have two All-Stars. Marcus Smart's been hurt all year, but other than that, they are struggling defensively. Kemba Walker is a shell of himself. First of all, who would have thought that the Charlotte Hornets would win the Kemba Walker trade?
Michael Jordan.
And that's it.
Michael Jordan
is not me.
Wrong, and he's proving he's not a bad owner the way the Hornets are looking at the moment.
But he's still a bad
owner. He can still do it.
How do we fix the Boston Celtics?
I mean, to me, their biggest needs are scoring and playmaking.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are, I have it written here. They're like 28th in assists per game. It's really Jalen or Jason, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to throw this out. I think they need a sniper on the team. I think they need a Buddy Hield.
Oh, nice.
Just bring up some scoring on the wing, shooting threes. You still let Jalen and Jason do most of the ball handling. And I mean, Kemba can still dribble at least.
Mm-hmm.
But the way Buddy Hield still shoots like 38% from deep, and they need scoring without. I mean, they still don't. They don't really have 3-point scoring. So.
Yeah, I think that would be a really big help for them. Do you have any packages in mind that they'd be going to trade Buddy Hield for?
You see, the problem is they don't – all their money is in Kemba Walker.
They do. But they do have a very large trade exception, so they would be able to take on the contract.
Right. Well, Buddy Hield, did he re-sign for
them? Yeah, Buddy Hield re-signed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dave, Ben, how would you fix the Celtics?
I agree with Eric in two of his points. I had a third one. They definitely need ball distribution, and they need scoring. I also think they need to upgrade from Theis.
I'm 100% with you.
I don't think they can get Drummond. I think his price is too high. But especially if they still have faith in Robert Williams, if they think Robert Williams can still come off the bench, I think Thad Young would be great to come in and
Thad
play
Young
a little bit
would
of a small
really
ball
good.
Defense. For ball distribution, Kemba... If you could move on from Kemba, which I don't think they could do, it would be great. And having someone like Lonzo would really help out being able to give the ball to Tatum and Brown.
Yeah.
And in terms of bench scoring, Buddy Hield would be perfect, but I went a little bit cheaper. And I like Eric Gordon. He can come off the bench. He can shoot the three. I think he could really help that team.
I got another Gordon, Aaron Gordon.
Nice. He's definitely going to be available with the Magic.
He just needs – he's a good player who just needs an opportunity, and he's not getting it on the Magic.
Mm-hmm.
He's
getting the opportunity. He just definitely needs a change of scenery.
They got Vuk. Vuk is the first option, and they play – they're both post players. I mean, I think he's bigger than Theis. I think he's like 6'10", which would make him, other than Taco, like the biggest center on the team. I like Aaron Gordon. I like the Aaron Gordon pick.
Yeah, I like that a lot, Dave. Ben, any thoughts?
Look, I'm pretty low on the Celtics. I they're 15-16. They're getting blown out by the Hawks on the night of the 24th at home, or I guess they're on the road, but they're down by 25 right now. The game's not even over yet. They're not a good team. They're going to be 15 and 17 after tonight. They're averaging 110 points a game. They're giving up 109 on average. Their last 10, 3-7. They're not clicking. Their players aren't working well together. I've been watching a lot of their games because I've been getting into sports betting, and I like betting against the Celtics a lot because they don't know how to win. I don't know if you guys watched the game where they lost against the Pelicans where they gave up a 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. They look bad. They don't care. They're not finishing games down the stretch. I think that the only point that I came in with was that Daniel Theis is not a starter for this team, or at least he shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
He is averaging 25 minutes. He's averaging less than 2 assists. He's averaging less than 10 points. You think, where's his value? Like, where in the stats is the value of this guy? I don't know who's going to replace him. I just don't think that Tristan Thompson and Daniel Theis are the centers that this team needs. I like the idea of a three-point shooter. I think getting some pressure off of Brown and Tatum is a good idea, just because everybody comes in the game knowing that the scorers are going to be Brown and Tatum. If you can effectively shut those guys down and not let, you know, Kemba blow you out for 35, which, by the way, he doesn't do anymore, then you're going to beat the Celtics, and it's going to be easy. And I think that if you can get some pressure off of those two guys to really let them shine, then great. I also don't like their shot selection. The shot selection is really, really bad. I don't know. I was watching the game last night, and Tatum was just doing this fadeaway too every time he had the ball, and he was missing it every single time. It's just like they're not making clutch shots. They can't hit. They can't finish games down the line. And they don't care, it looks like. And I think it's because they're not very good, and so they know that. I think in order to fix this team, you got to really take some pressure off your superstars and reinvigorate something in the culture, because they don't want to win right now.
Well, I mean, they got the coach, and defensively they're solid. They just – I also have Blake Griffin on here. I think I have Blake Griffin on here for all the teams, just mm-hmm. FYI, just because free Blake. I think he's a good player, and if he's on the Celtics, I think he'd be much more motivated, and he's better than anyone they have in their front court right now. So
yeah, I know. I think that you guys all brought up very, very good points, and everybody brought up that we think Theis needs to be replaced, and I think where they could get a lot more points, another scorer. He's probably not going to be available, but I think Nikola Vukovic should be their primary target to get a third star in there into that lineup, take some pressure off Tatum and Brown. I came up with the trade. So they have their very large trade exception because they lost Gordon Hayward. So they give up Time Lord, they give up Romeo Langford, who was their first round pick 2 years ago. They give up Taco Fall. And they use one. They give up their first round pick for this year, and they give up their pick, and they give up a pick swap the year after. The thing that kind of hurts them about this is they are very good at drafting. The Celtics GM has been a great drafter for many, many years. I know they don't want to give up their first pick, but they do well at the beginning of the first round. They don't do as well at the end. So I think Vukovic would be a great piece for that team. What do you boys think?
I mean, I love Vuk.
I agree.
I think it'd be a great. Here's my, I have like a dream player. I kind of, for a couple of these teams, I really like a dream player they could have right now.
Mm-hmm.
Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Ooh, I think that would be great for them.
Because they thought Kemba was going to be the playmaker that they needed, but he's not. And Shai Gilgeous is like the rising star, right? Like the best young playmaker, one of the best young playmakers I can see right now. And I think he'd be perfect for the Celtics.
Yeah, the problem is you can't get off Kemba's contract right now. And yeah. You're not going to be able to get any. You would have to give up picks for Kemba right now.
No, I know.
What I'm saying is I wish they had Terry Rozier, for example. I wish they had a way to get off Kemba Walker, because they need Kemba Walker, and he's just not himself. Yeah, Marcus Smart being injured, just now coming back from injury, is a huge component of this. Any final thoughts on the Boston Celtics?
I like Vukovic, except I'm worried that there's too many mouths to feed, right? Like he sucks up the offense of the Magic right now. He needs so many touches in order for him to produce, and then when he produces, they win. But I think that when you're playing on a team with Brown and Tatum, that they've already committed to those guys being the guy, is you need a center who's getting assists. You need a center who's getting rebounds. I don't know if you need a center who's needing to take, you know, 15, 20 shots a game in order for him to produce. So I like the idea of having like an offensive center or somebody that can at least score, because, you know, Theis is not the guy. I just worry that there's too many mouths to feed.
Yeah.
I think a lot of what Vuk is doing is out of necessity, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't think he's a selfish player.
That's fair.
Yeah, I also think the Celtics are falling a lot into, like, it's my turn, it's your turn. Like, Jason Brown runs the offense for one possession, and then Jason Tatum runs for the offense for one possession. They're not really playing great team basketball, and, like, I liked what you guys kept saying about getting a distributor. The problem is, you still have Kemba Walker. Yeah, you're playing Kemba Walker. They have to play Kemba Walker.
They thought they got a distributor, but it just isn't working, mm-hmm. which is unfortunate. But yeah.
Yeah, they went all in a minute. It didn't work out.
Let's move into another team right now. There's been a lot of rumors from the Mavs about them possibly moving on from Porzingis, who has kind of just turned into... I mean, he's still fine. Like, he's still a decent player, but definitely a shell of the unicorn that he used to be. How do you guys think the Mavericks should fix their current situation?
Well, the Mavs, they need rebounding and defense. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of my... And I think they need to move on for Porzingis while they still can. So, like, my strategy for them is to move Porzingis.
Mm-hmm.
And try, like, take calls for Andre Drummond, Miles Turner, because Miles Turner, they need help, big help on defense, and Miles Turner is a really good defender.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my two guys for them, because they just, I mean, if Luka keeps playing and they get a guy that will, you know, clean, like, Drummond cleans the boards, he makes a big impact on the game. And Miles Turner is a big defensive presence. They could turn it around with just one of them, I think.
No, I agree with that. I think getting a big instead of KP would be really helpful. I think Drummond could help a lot of these teams. I also think they need to find somebody with a little bit of grit that maybe could help Luke out. I think Kyle Lowry could really help that team.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that.
I think he could take a little bit of the scoring pressure away from Luka. Where, I mean, I don't know if you guys watched the game last night. There was no way he was passing the ball in the last three possessions.
Yeah, it was everybody knew it was going to Luka, and luckily for them, Luka's been nuclear the last few weeks.
Yeah.
He's just been insane.
Getting someone like Kyle Lowry to maybe take some pressure, someone you kind of have to – he's not the Kyle Lowry that he was 3 years ago, but I think there's still enough there where you have to respect him. And him and Luka, I think both would feed off each other really well.
I agree. I think that's what they're missing. I think that they're very one-dimensional right now, especially when Porzingis isn't in the lineup, which I actually think plays to their favor because Luka's a better scorer. I don't know if you guys watched the game against the Celtics, but they tried to throw away an 11-point lead in the last 5 minutes against the Celtics on the 23rd, and Luka single-handedly willed them to that win, despite being double covered for the entire last 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
That's not replicable. They're 15-15. They're averaging 112. They're giving 113. They're not superstars. They're not super, you know, consistent in everything. They're exactly even on both home and away. But right now they're hot. They're 7-3 in the last 10. And I think that kind of plays with the fact that Porzingis hasn't really been playing that much in the last 10. I think they need to move on for him. And like Eric said, while you still can and while you can still get value from them. I think that Luka is clearly the guy for this team, and I think that you got to help him by getting some pressure off him, by giving him more guards that people will respect defensively. You know, because if you have Kyle Lowry, like David said, like in that team, you can't double-team Luka because you know, they'll figure out another way to score. But I think without that presence, without that respect from other players on the floor, you know, eventually someone's going to stop Luka, and then they're not going to keep winning. They're in the 9 seed right now. I think they have the opportunity to make the playoffs. They're going to have to get over teams like Golden State and the Nuggets in the 7 and 8 seed. So I think that down the line, they're really going to need some pressure off Luka in order to make it there.
Yeah, I think the biggest issue with them right now, like everybody was saying, it's they're looking play-in game bound, which, you know, is fine, but you're not going to be able to sustain the Luka Doncic magic that he's been doing. He's a generational talent. Like, he's one of the best players I've ever seen. He can get to the basket whenever he wants to. So I think that it's time to move off Porzingis. And what I would do is I would try to make a trade with the Charlotte Hornets. And I would go for as many pieces as they would give them. So I'd try to trade Porzingis for Terry Rozier, Mikal Bridges, PJ Washington, Bismack Biyombo, so you can get the contract off, and the Charlotte will be happy to get off that contract, and then a top 15 protected first round pick, so you can have that to try to trade for a second asset or try to get a buyout guy. I think that Terry Rozier is having a career like resurgence right now. He's looking as good right now as he did ever with Boston. Yeah. He's looking like scary Terry again. And then you get Washington for the three-point threat. I know he's having a down year, but it's still that Seth Curry role that they're missing from last year because they don't – last year, the reason –
PJ Washington?
Yeah, what did I say?
He said Washington.
I thought you meant – you're talking about Deontay, right, Graham?
No, PJ Washington.
The three-point threat?
Yeah, is he not?
He shoots corner top of the key.
Yeah. I think that they have a lot of needs right now, and I think that they're going to be able to fill a lot of holes if they're able to trade for a lot of pieces as opposed to just for one guy. That's just my thoughts on it. I don't think that they have a single need. I think they're missing a lot of the role players that I think they're missing the role players that they would need to go over the top with Luka.
They have solid guys at wing. They got Hardaway. They got Finney Smith. J.J. Barea, I think, is the point guard.
No, J.J. Barea is not there anymore, is he?
No,
Brunson runs the point.
Yeah. The fact that Kristaps is 6'7", 3", and doesn't average more than 10 rebounds, he averages like 7. Like that,
is
that's,
it even 7 this year?
They gotta move him.
Mm-hmm. I think the time on Porzingis has passed.
And
I think it's already dropped a significant amount. I don't even know if they'd be able to get that much for him.
Oh yeah, but they can still get enough for him where it's not worth just cutting him.
Mm-hmm. Any other Mavs interesting takes? Any like ideal players for them that you think in a perfect world they should go for?
Miles Turner to me is like their best.
Miles Turner is having a defensive player of the year candidate right now. Like right now, his plus minus is higher than Sabonis with the Pacers.
Right.
He's playing very, very good defense, leading the league in blocks.
He's a decent scorer, but his defense is just, it'd be a huge difference maker for the Mavs if they could not have to score 150 points to win.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So let's move on to the Miami Heat, Eastern Conference champions last year. Everybody was thinking that this was the start of, you know, great young core there, and they've kind of just sputtered this year. They're in the play-in game as of right now, but the back end of the East is so tight. Between the 5 seed and I believe the 12 seed is separated by about 2 games right now.
Yeah.
What do we think the Heat should do in order to fix their problems?
Well, look, I've already got the perfect player for them. They need scoring and rebounding.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine this. Just imagine the hero from Cleveland bringing his talents to South Cleveland. Kevin Love.
Okay, yeah.
Is perfect for them. He brings rebound and scoring and veteran, and he's been there before, and I think it's a perfect fit. Free Kevin.
I love Kevin Love.
Kevin Love here.
I do think that scoring is a big issue. I think they're good at defense. My thing is, do whatever you can do to get a team of Bam Adebayo, Jimmy Butler, and Bradley Beal. Whatever it takes. If it's hero and a million first, you do it. If you can get Beal on that team with Bam and Jimmy, that team is going to be dangerous.
Yeah, I
agree. I think the Heat are a couple of pieces away from being really good. They kept almost their entire team from last year, and obviously they made it to the finals for a reason. It hasn't clicked this year. They don't score. They all their games are low scoring. If you're a betting guy, definitely bet the under on them most of the time. And I think it's because they play slow, right? They don't run up and down the floor all game like a team like the Kings does. They're not in a high octane offense right now. They'll beat you on the slow grind, and it doesn't work for some teams, and that's why they're not, you know, in the top 8. Like you said, they're in a play-in game right now. They're two out of the, I guess they're tied with the Bulls in wins. They're a couple games back of like the 7-6 seeds. But those are winnable, right? Like the last couple of seeds are the Celtics, Knicks, Bulls, and then you've got Hornets, Heat, Hawks right there in the running. I think the Heat are clicking. I think they have not clicked yet. They're averaging 106, giving up 109 per game. But their last 10, they're 7-3. I think it's starting to click for them now. And if they can get some scorers, like David said, yes, that helps.
They've been a big COVID team that hasn't been able to stay consistently on the floor.
Yeah, for sure. But I've been pretty underwhelmed with them so far, but I think they're easily going to win that division. I don't really trust a lot of the other teams in that division to win big games down the stretch. And I think if they can get a score this, you know, this free agent break or whatever it is, then great. I don't know if Bradley Beal's the guy. I don't think the Wizards are going to want to move on from him. I know that he's come out and said that he is, you know, he wants to stay with Washington. I think that's ridiculous. I don't think the Wizards are going to be very good, and they can't afford to get the pieces to help them out. I know this isn't about the Wizards, but I don't know if Bradley Beal's the guy. I think if they can get some scores around Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, then that'll help a lot. I like the idea of Beal. I just don't think they'll be able to do it.
Yeah, I think Beal is the ultimate wild card. I think any team that is able to convince the Wizards and or convince him to take him, they are, like, I think Bradley Beal can is the biggest wild card that can shift title favorites so much. We'll talk about him more later because I have him for a different team that we'll be talking about in a few minutes. I went with Miles Turner because I think that he is, like we talked about before, I think he is a very solid defensive piece. Pair him with Bam Adebayo. Keep Bam at the power forward position, and you could put Miles at you could put Turner at the center where he has been absolutely dominating this season, and then you don't have to give up the massive haul of Tyler Hero. You don't have to give up you probably have to give up one of Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero in order to get him along with a pick, but you don't have to give up that giant core like of young player. Yeah, that's why they're so good. It's because they have the young players on good contracts right now. So my ideal trade for them would be Duncan Robinson, Iggy for Miles Turner, and maybe throw in a second-round pick. And I think that would be more than enough to get him so they could play Sabonis without having to worry about like shifting those minutes. I know Sabonis has kind of been down the last few weeks, months-ish, but Sabonis, I think we all rate him very highly here. He is a fantastic player. He was snubbed. It's because he wasn't as hot as everybody else going to the All-Star break. Shout out to Julius
Great
Randle.
Middle part, though.
Great middle part.
I think making a Twin Towers there would solidify the defense and not really a scoring threat, but would kind of is something that they don't have to give up a lot of their pieces to continue with that young base that they have there.
It also lets Bam rest.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could definitely switch it off, not make him have to work as hard as he's been working. Any final thoughts on the Miami Heat, everyone?
Also Blake Griffin? No, be fun.
Blake Griffin would be fun on any team.
I just want to see Blake off. I want to see him playing basketball.
Having fun,
and he said he won't do that for the Pistons. So I'm just like, oh, Blake on there.
Yeah. Yeah, and we've got one more team that we want to talk about in this little segment we've got going. We've got the Denver Nuggets. They have Jokic, who is putting up an MVP-type season, as we talked about last week, really just dominating in every facet of the game right now. But Jamal Murray looks like he's turning it around. He's turning back into the Jamal Murray we saw in the bubble last year.
50 points.
Yeah, he's definitely turning it around, but they're still struggling. They're still in the lower seeds in the West, and they're going to have to be hyper-competitive if they're going to want a high seed in the West, especially in the second half of the season that's coming up. How would we fix the Denver Nuggets?
Well, I see their biggest needs are rebounding and defense.
Mm-hmm.
But my solution for them, forget that. You're not going to out-defense the Jazz. But you could, if you just speak, like, their offense is good enough, is really good right now, top five. They had a guy like Zach LaVine. They become an offensive powerhouse.
Yeah.
They could throw, I mean, they could move on from Michael Porter. They could throw a couple other guys and put Zach LaVine at the wing, keep Jamal, and have Jokic. And I think they'd be scoring crazy numbers.
As someone who watches more Bulls basketball than most people in the world, Zach LaVine is not talked about like an all-world, like, superstar-type player, but he should be talked about in the Kyrie, KD levels of scoring. He hits shots that just about nobody else in the NBA can hit.
Yeah.
His defense, meh. Then his playmaking, meh. But as a scorer, he is absolutely elite, and that's why I don't think the Bulls would move on from them. I do think if any team were to be able to acquire him, it would have to be in a Brad Beal type move, but I definitely think that a Zach LaVine addition to the Nuggets would be huge and would definitely put them into contention in the West over the Lakers.
My fix for the Nets is to get healthy.
The Nuggets?
For the Nuggets, not the Nets. I can't fix them.
they've already been fixed.
For the Nuggets, get healthy. The team just, everybody seems to get hurt. Everyone's playing minutes. They need to get healthy. And Malone needs to find a better way to use Porter.
Yeah.
Too many games I'm watching the Nuggets, and he's sitting in the corner while Jamal Murray dribbles around Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
I know he is not a phenomenal defender, but he is a good young scorer, and they just have to utilize in the offense. I'm sure there's trades they can do, but I don't think they give up on Porter yet, and I think he would be the piece they'd have to move from.
I also have some, like, I know Zach LaVine is, like, the dream move for me, but I have, like, some small picks. Like, they can move Millsap or Gary Harris and get some, like, defenders like Dort or Larry Nance. Oh,
I love Lou Dort. We'll have to do a Lou Dort podcast next week because I love that guy so much.
But, yeah, get somebody to shore up defensively because, I mean, as annoying, as boring as it is sometimes to watch the high pick and roll with Jamal and Jokic, it obviously works. Mm-hmm. So I think they just need defensively.
I'm going to do my Lou Dort rant real quick.
Okay.
Lou Dort could go on any team right now and defend just about any player. Obviously, he's like a step down from Ben Simmons. Like, he is not a good scorer. I love Lou Dort so much. I will talk about him more later, but he is one of my favorite defensive guys to watch in the league. Sorry, Ben, go. Talk about the Nuggets. I'm sorry, Lou Dort ran over.
No, you're good. There's something wrong with the Nuggets, man. They've dropped from like the 4 seed to the 8 seed or the 7 seed, where they are right now, so quickly. And I think that a lot of that is spoken to the unspoken value of people like Paul Millsap and Gary Harris. And I'm right with you, Eric. I don't think that they're that, like, I think they're tradable. I think they're replaceable. However, without them, the Nuggets are lost. And that showed when they were hurt for the last couple of games. They lost games to people like the Hawks, the Celtics, and the Wizards, which are not the superstars of the East, right? On that road trip, the only game that they won was against the Cavaliers. Before that, they won against the Lakers, the Thunder, and then the Cavs before that when they had those guys. But I think without those guys, that there really isn't a lot of things to look at besides, you know, Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic. And I think that makes them very one-dimensional. I think defense is their biggest need right now. And like you say, somebody, whether it's a shot blocker down low, because, you know, Jokic doesn't have a whole ton of blocks against offensive centers. Whether it's Lou Dort or somebody like that, I think that defense is definitely their biggest need because they're going to score as long as their guys are all healthy and they're able to play. I mean, they have big game, like big wins against teams like the Lakers and the Jazz earlier in the season. But right now, there's something wrong with them, man. And I don't know what it is, but they're not a good bet and they can't consistently cover. They can't consistently win. And I'm scared for them. I think the fact that they've dropped from the 4 seed to the 7 seed so quickly is really, really alarming because last year they were one of the best teams in the West. Now the West is stacked. Everybody knows that there's a lot of really good teams out there. So the fact that they're 17 is still a good thing. And they're still, you know, within punching distance of the top 4 or 5. But I think that they need to make some adjustments on defense or else they're going to be in big, big trouble.
Yeah. And being at the bottom of the West means that you're going to have to play the Clippers and most likely the Lakers. By the time you get to the playoffs, when you have a healthy Anthony Davis,
really? Is he coming back?
Yeah, he's going to be out until for probably like next 3 weeks. He'll be back. I think when you're at the bottom of the West, it just makes your path so much more difficult. And that's why I think that they have to move up into the top 4, top 3, if they want to have any chance of recreating the run that they made last year. And that's why I think they have to be the Brad Beal team. I think that they have to move into a category like the Nets, where it doesn't matter how bad your defense is, you can outscore any team on any night. I think Brad Beal is the perfect team. I made the trade of Michael Porter Jr., Gary Harris, and 2 picks for Brad Beal. That seems small, but you got to remember that MPJ is a future superstar.
Well, I'm fans of MPJ, so I'm not mad at the trade.
I think that's the deal that they have to make. And then you have to remember, no matter how good the West is, you're most likely going to be going against the Nets, who can outscore any team on any night. And I think the current construction of that team is not going to be able to hang. It's just not going to be able to do it unless Michael Porter is able to turn to the superstar that he most likely will be in 2 or 3 years. They're just not there yet. And they're going to, if they want to win with this core that they have, they got to make the big splash. I think they have to be the Brad Beal team.
If there's a Brad Beal team,
I think he would be their perfect player.
You got to hope there's a Brad Beal team, because he's putting up numbers. It'd be nice to see him compete for something.
Well, you've seen the last road trip that they've had against the West teams. Like, they beat the Blazers, they beat the Lakers, they beat the Clippers. I think they also lost to the Clippers. But the Washington has been popping off the last few weeks. I don't know if this is sustainable. I think it's mainly because they've had so much rest due to the week of COVID, or the 2 weeks that they had completely off due to that. But
I wouldn't look too deep into the West road trip, because if I'm a Western Conference team and I see the Wizards are coming to town, I'm not hitting the gas. I'm taking it easy.
Yeah, I'd agree.
I'd throw a game or two.
Yeah, I don't think this road is sustainable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, any other final thoughts on the Nuggets? That was a fun little thought experiment there.
They're in trouble.
I think they're in a lot of trouble too.
I think they'll figure it out, but I still think
they're going to be at the bottom of the West. And when you're going to be going against the Jazz, the Lakers, the Clippers, I think there's no way to get out of that.
And look, man, the West has a lot of teams that are knocking. The Kings are close to figuring it out. The Grizzlies are a step away. You know, the Mavericks are right there at the 9th seed. Like, there's a lot of teams that are knocking on the playoffs. And the Pelicans, too, not to even forget about them. They're the 10th seed right now. Is there's a lot of teams that could make a play to be into the playoffs right now. If the Nuggets don't, you know, figure it out right now, they might end up on the wrong side of that.
Yeah, they'll be on the wrong side.
I think the Nuggets, they'll squeak on in. They'll figure it out.
They'll definitely be in, but I think Ben is
exactly
right. I hope
they win and come back from a bunch more 3-1 deficits, because that'll be fun.
Okay, so we are running low on time, but just a little thought experiment. The trade deadline is coming up soon, and we have some very interesting players who are left available. And I just wanted to get you boys' thoughts on where you think these players will end up going in the before the trade deadline, or if you think that they're going to be held. Let's start with one, Buddy Hield. Where do you think Buddy Hield's going to go?
I think he'll end up staying, but I would love to see him go to, like I said before, the Celtics, or, I mean, the Grizzlies could use him. But I think I don't think the trade will be made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he's staying put.
I think that the Kings don't have a choice. I the Kings right now are in win now for some reason. They're not necessarily in win now, but they think they're contenders, and I think they are too. I think he's a perfect two guard for someone like De'Aaron Fox.
Contenders?
To make the playoffs.
Forgive me.
Yeah, not.
I was very confused
for a second. To make the playoffs. The Kings think they can make it, and I think they can too. And I don't think that they're going to be trying to ship a lot of pieces right now. I think they're going to try and hold on to what they have, because when what they have works, they can beat teams like the Nets. They can beat teams like the Clippers. They went on a stretch where they beat the Celtics, the Clippers, and the Nuggets all in a row. And I think that they can beat, you know, they can run with just about anybody as long as they're all on for that night. Problem is that's not consistent. So I think they're going to hold on to Buddy Hield.
I think Buddy Hield would be perfect as a Philadelphia 76er. I think he would do amazing in Philly. Morey has already said that he wants to make a large splash. And I think that that is going to be the trade that gets made. I see Buddy Hield getting moved to the 76ers. I think he's going to throw a ridiculous amount of picks and or players at them.
Who do you move, though? Do you move Tobias?
No, you don't move Tobias. This is the 76ers window. This is what they've been waiting for. Yeah. And I think they need a player like Buddy Hield if they want to have if they want a chance to beat the Nets.
Danny Green's garbage.
Yeah, they need Buddy
Seth
Hield
Curry's
to fill that
playing
role.
Okay, though.
Seth Curry is 50-40-90 right now, which is
Big
ridiculous. Yeah, I just think Buddy Hield is the perfect player. What do we think about Blake Griffin? Where do we think he's actually going to go? Since he's being sat now and he is on the end of his rope there, what's the realistic move for Blake Griffin?
For the season?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just going to hang out. I don't see anybody knocking on their doors for 31-year-old Blake Griffin. I wish they would, but I think he's just going to be waiting until off season.
Mm-hmm.
Agents
yeah,
be making
I think.
Phone calls.
I think that's the sad truth of Blake, because I mean, there's the rumor that he'll buy himself out, but I hope he gets freed and gets to play for a team that's in the playoffs and makes it out of the first round.
For a city that's got a good stand-up scene so he can have
New York, Chicago, or L.A.
Detroit's rough. Yeah. Send him to the Knicks. Let him do some
That's what I was going to say. I like him to the Knicks.
I see him as a buyout guy because I think that he wants to play because he's running out of time with all those injuries. And you know what? This was my dream 5 years ago, and I'm going to make it happen. I want him to go to Golden State. I've always wanted to see him play with Steph Curry and that core of players. I don't know if it'll be any good. I don't know what Blake Griffin has left in the tank, but I've always wanted to see him go to Golden State, and I want him to pull the trigger on that.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
That's a little personal.
That'd be fun.
Who do we think the Aaron Gordon team is?
I think it's the Celtics. I think the Celtics are a great fit for him, and I think they can move. They have a couple of, I mean, they got Tristan, they got Tice, they got Robert Williams. They can move any of those guys, and Aaron Gordon's better than them right now. And
mm-hmm.
I think it provides, he's good enough on defense. He provides scoring, and he's a good player.
I would have felt more inclined with the moving of Aaron Gordon if he wasn't so up and down injury this year.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I feel like the Magic are close. If they didn't get hurt with injuries, it would have been fun to see them play.
Yeah, it's been a rough injury.
I'm going to go ahead and say they don't make a move, even though I think they probably should.
I think that Aaron Gordon would be really great on the Lakers. I don't think that they have anything that they could give up for him, but if they were to somehow be able to piece that trade together, I think he would be a really, really fun Laker.
They'd have to move Kuz.
They would probably have. It would probably be Kuz.
I mean, they'd have to move Kuz.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, they don't have it.
In Orlando, though.
Yeah, I think this is the perfect time for an Orlando soft reset. They can keep the players that they have right now that are hurt. They can keep Isaac. They can keep Fultz. They move on from Fournier. They should move on from Gordon and probably Vukovic. I think it's time that they get rid of him. I mean, he's old.
If they move on from Vuk, though, it's not a soft rebuild because then they're scoring.
That's a full
reset. Their scoring is Fournier and Vuk right now.
Yeah, I think, but you have Fournier, he's on the last year of his contract, and they've never been able to do anything as him as the main point guard. I think it's time for them to start moving on and thinking about the future, because this is not a title-winning team. We've already talked about Brad Beal and Porzingis, so we'll move on from them. I think another fun player to think about is Lonzo Ball, especially with the Pelicans wanting to go to their younger guards, but they're just such a confusing team this year. They're so weird to watch.
Yeah.
What do you guys think is going to happen to Lonzo?
I mean, I think the Bulls should make a play for Lonzo. I think the Bulls should make a play for Lonzo, get a defensive point guard to, you know, help out Zach LaVine on the perimeter. And they could probably send Kobe. I don't know how much they like.
Kobe White, I don't think he's worth a Lonzo trade. I'm thinking, if it was the Bulls, which I also have down, I think it would have to be maybe an Otto Porter who's a lot of money on an expiring, and maybe like a Satoransky. But I think Coby White is too good to give up for Alonzo Ball.
But they play the same position, though.
Coby White's a two. He's a two. He's not a one.
But Zach's also a two.
No, Zach's a three.
So who's one?
Technically, Coby White and Satoransky.
Okay.
But neither of them are really a one or a two. Dave, Ben, who do you think the Alonzo Ball team?
Do you think
he gets moved?
Yeah, it's going to be a hot take. It's not really based on much research, but hear me out here. I like Lonzo Ball and Steven Adams to go to the Charlotte Hornets for Scary Terry, Bismack Biyombo, and their first rounder next year.
Okay. You little Ball brothers. I love it.
I like the Ball brothers together. I think that LaMelo is really exciting right now, and I think he's a really good one. I think Lonzo isn't that good of a point guard, but I think he's a good guard in general and definitely defensive-minded. Plus, the Hornets need more than anything a center, so I think a package deal of Steven Adams and Lonzo Ball for Scary Terry and Bismack Biyombo and a pick could make the Hornets exciting, and it could make the Pelicans a little bit more fun.
No, I don't think you could do that. In a perfect world, I would love to see the Ball brothers together. I just don't know if that's feasible. I would love to see it. And I would love
It'd
to
be
see
fine.
Jordan would have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
LeVar would be up here.
Okay. And
it would definitely be interesting.
The final player I have before we can end this marathon session is Andre Drummond. Where do we think Andre Drummond's going?
I feel like all these answers are nowhere because I'm just not confident that someone
I mean, he's on the bench right now. He's going to be moved or bought out.
My thing is, I don't know if anyone's gonna like try and make a move on him. I think
Sexland was so good at the beginning of the season.
Yeah,
I love Sexland.
Yeah,
I want to go there
it
every day.
Still is, by the way. Did you watch the game last night?
The Cleveland game? I did not watch the Cleveland game. No,
it was good, man. He played out of his mind.
Well, yeah, but
they've had a ridiculous season, and they've definitely slowed down in the last few months. But I think Sexton is very much, he was an all-star snub, I'll say it. I think they definitely have their core for the future. Drummond is not a part of that, and I think that Drummond is going to be moved for pieces. And they have Jared Allen, too.
So if you think he's moved for pieces, you think what team with pieces is, what do you think?
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I think the expiring contract of Otto Porter Jr.
Ah.
And a first-round pick from the Chicago Bulls for Andre Drummond.
Okay.
I think that the Bulls, they saw against the 76ers when 50 points got dropped on them by Joel Embiid, that they need some type of interior defense. I don't know if this is an all-or-nothing type season, but I think that great players like Drummond, he's not designed for 2021 NBA basketball, but he still gets rebounds that they're missing. And being an interior piece to go along with Wendell Carter Jr. and Lauri Markkanen, who I think is going to be gone at the end of the season, I think that would give them a good chance to win now and push beyond a first-round exit, which is likely for them.
Here's the one flaw, is that Drummond's not the answer for Embiid because Embiid hates Drummond and has had his number, and it's like, it's documented.
Yeah, it's very true.
He goes hard when Drummond, when he sees Andre Drummond.
I think Drummond has to be moved, but it has to be a team that thinks they can, you know, keep him around. Doesn't he only have 1 year left or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's
a lot
one
of
or
money.
Two.
I think I would love to say Charlotte. I just don't think that's it. I think it's probably Boston. I think they make a move to upgrade from Theis. And then they lock down the center position. They take way too many jumpers, but now it's somebody that can get them and try to bring that back into the offense.
Yeah, I
like Andre Drummond to the Dallas Mavericks, and here's why. I think that he is the exact opposite of Kristaps Porzingis. He is a true center. Kristaps Porzingis is a shooter that's stuck in a center's body and doesn't know how to play it, especially recently. I don't know if you've been watching him recently. He does not play like a center anymore. So I think the Dallas Mavericks make a trade for Andre Drummond and give up Porzingis.
Drummond has a three, though. He's got a three.
I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying that Porzingis plays like a two.
Much improved.
Yeah, I think the issue with any possible trade for the Mavericks when you're going for a center is the spacing that is required, because Luka is going into the paint. Luka is going to be going into the paint consistently, and having a center like Drummond, who, I mean, technically can shoot threes, but you don't want him shooting threes, that's going to cause a lot of spacing problems clogging up the paint for Luka.
Yeah.
Very interesting, though.
He would supplement a little bit because his rebound ability is so good.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe run some high pick and rolls.
Oh, yeah, he's a great
Just have him play like a center, because Porzingis isn't it.
Yeah. Well, this was a beautiful episode of Sandy and the Blowfish podcast.
Oh,
thank
man.
You, Ben, for joining us. You were a fabulous guest.
Thank you,
Ben. Next
Absolutely.
Year,
thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Next time, we're going to talk about Lu Dort, and we're going to talk about spacing and why centers should be taking less than 6 three-pointers a game. This was so much fun. Follow us on Twitter at Sandy Blows Fish. Any shout-outs before the end of the episode, boys?
I mean, kids, eat your vegetables. Thanks for tuning in to the JMU's number one podcast. Self-proclaimed.
I'll take it.
I'm going to give my shout-out to Teddy Covers.
Awesome.
Sports
yeah,
betting guru.
Teddy
he
Covers.
It. He truly does. I'm going to give my shout-out to the Boston Celtics and the fact that I bet against them and have won a couple of bets in a row because of that. So Celtics keep sucking and keep making me money.
I'm going to give a shout-out to the Tribal Chief, Roman Reigns.
Oh, yes. Huge win.
Huge win against Daniel Bryan over the weekend. Really shows that he's the real champion.
Let us know if we're going to do a WWE podcast.
Yeah, we're leaning towards yes.
We are ready.
I think next week is going to be WWE and NBA themed, but let us know.
Any of the listeners have any requests, anything they want to hear. Just
anything from Boardman, Oregon, you know, just let us know. All right, we're going to get the heck out of here. Thanks for watching, and we'll catch you next time on Sandy and the Blowfish.